हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 59, verses 46 to 52, the eternal position of Jashoda and Nanda. Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Jashoda, Pariksit Maharaj inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahmana, Mother Jashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Footnote 25. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 46 to Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala, chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord, the Bhagavata Shakti Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Okay, so how the different energies work, what it is, activities that you perform, how then they give you the results in Krishna consciousness, material energy, then that is all described by the Lord's energy. Because he's the source of all energies, so then they all function in their particular ways. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki, that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great, and simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudev and Devaki. Srila Prabhupada comments.
Right. When we say better here, it's from the point of view of rasa, fullness.
Yes, yes. It's not that, you know, yeah. Because by social status, and Vasudeva and Devaki, the Kshatriyas and Nanda and Jashoda are Vaishyas, and so therefore in that way you could say that Vasudeva and Devaki are in a better position. But Srila Prabhupada comments. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, Chatur Vidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritino Arjuna. Without Sukriti or pious activities, no one can come to the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is approached by four kinds of pious men. Arto, Jigyasur, Artarti, Jnani, Cha. But here we see that Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda surpassed all of them. Therefore, Pariksit Maharaj naturally inquired, what kind of pious activities did they perform in their past lives by which they achieved such a stage of perfection? Right? So, we're discussing piety, we mean what is appropriate action, proper action, recommended action, action that is given in the Shastra. So following that, that's called piety. Now of that, then you have following piety for your own purpose and following piety to please the Lord. Right? So even in here we mean, okay, we're trying to please ourselves, but, you know, the Lord is being pleased in the process. Then it's a matter of what is the ultimate goal, right? Because it's obvious that someone's just following pious activities, they're not worried about the Lord, or they're following pious activities simply to please Krishna, right? But then in between you have mixed aspect. So you have therefore following the recommended activities, because you know by pleasing the Lord you can get these facilities. Right, much easier than any other method. So now, in that group, then it comes down to what's the intent? What's the ultimate intent? Is it to please the Lord ultimately, but now you're dealing with material desires, so then that will be karma misra bhakti. But if it's not, it's just, you just know that worship of the Supreme Lord is the best method to accomplish anything, therefore you're doing that, and your ultimate goal is getting your material facility that you want, then that will be bhakti misra karma. Right. Does that make sense? But the point is all these four groups, they all follow the things recommended in Shastra that please the Lord. That's why it's called piety. Right? But we have to understand is the piety that they're discussing here with Nandan Jashoda, that's not material piety at all. It's spiritual piety. So that means they perform devotional service. So devotional service is, you know, the appropriate piety for the living entity. Yes. Right? Yes.
So does that mean that even out of these four, the jnani is actually looking for God, but it's more with the selfish interest?
It's not so. It means when the four I was mentioning there, I was talking about just a matter of if it's just materialistic, if it's mixed, or if it's pure. But if you're talking about these four, the jnani wants to know about God. And so it's sincere. It's not just like, it's not the jigyasu who is just interested. They want to know, but the whole point is knowing about God, it's not actually a dynamic relationship. You know, it's a beginning stage. It's a good stage. Just like you meet a person, and so you deal in the proper formal ways and all this and that. But if in the dealing you find the person to be interesting, that you want to get to know them, then, you know, to establish more of a relationship, then you start asking questions about who they are and this and that. You understand? But that's still not the relationship. The relationship is not what you're going to do on that platform. That's why it's still considered a neophyte platform. But all of these other three have to lead to this if you want to move on to the Madhyama platform. Right, you have to actually want to know Krishna as a person. What's going on? Why? That's why all this knowledge is given. So, for the Arta and Artarti, by knowing about Krishna, then they understand that whatever it is that you want or need can be gained from Krishna. So then they get that benefit, their faith increases. For the Jigyasu, then hearing all this knowledge is interesting. It's you know, new stuff, so they want to hear it. But yeah. But then for the Jigyasu, then the Jnani, then they want to know about God because they want to establish that relationship with Him. Yeah. Then when you go above that into the pure devotional thing, then it's just a matter of these are Krishna's glories, so hearing about them is wonderful. So there's nothing to gain from them other than just the remembrance of the Lord. You know, to be absorbed in the Lord. So Krishna consciousness is the only thing to gain. Does that make sense? And then it goes forward into, by hearing, then one tastes, transcendental ecstasy, then on to prema. So it's just the natural progression that is there. So that's what's so perfect about the devotional system. You don't have to change it. It works for everybody in all times, places, and circumstances. That's why when you use something else other than that, then you're using something that's from the conditioned nature, and the conditioned nature is very specific. Right? Let us say we have this nice, natural environment. Okay? And in that environment, then there's so many living entities living. Now we go there and change something. Well, we put a dam there, or we cut down the trees, or, you know, people move in and, you know, make some housing projects. So it changes then the quality of the life there, so therefore it changes the living entity's ability to live there. Does that make sense? So that's how it is everywhere. We have the ability, we can live here on Earth. You know, we can't go somewhere else. Does that make sense? You know, the fish live in the water, the birds are comfortable in the air. Right, you never hear of a bird having vertigo. Right, you know, it just doesn't happen. Right? So that's the whole thing. Everybody has this place, so they're very specific. Some may be a little more wide ranging than others, but they're still within a conditioned context because they are the results of your piety of works performed. Out of so much work you could do, you perform certain work. You can't in one life perform all the work. Therefore, you get specific results. Does that make sense? So then, to apply those as a way to make a universal formula, you know, like the physicists are always trying to figure out that universal formula, you know, so how everything works and how that, you know. So different people and different, the economic, what's the universal economic, what's the universal political, what's the universal intellectual, what's the universal social, all these things, then they try to work out that this is the thing. But we see is all of these things change. They get old, that people want to do something different. You know, something happens, fashion comes up, everybody starts doing it or wearing it or speaking like that, and it's all the rage. But then after some time, depending upon how less or more sophisticated it is, then it lasts for a bit longer. But at some point it changes and it's no longer used. So that's the whole thing, is that the material, all of the solutions in that, they're for a very specific situation. You know, therefore you are brahmachari, then you move to grihastha, then you move to vanaprastha, then like this. So it's specific for the situation. You get up in the morning, you take your bath, right? If you're sitting in the office and that, you don't take your bath there, right? You know, so everything is very specific. But we see his devotional service is so perfect that it, because it's addressing the soul, it does not have... So hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, those things can be done under any circumstance. In fact, the other processes, the devotion, you know, the nine processes, they're just basically expansions and combinations of those. Does that make sense? So the point is by chanting you hear, by chanting you remember. So then of even of these three, chanting is the most important. Right? So that's why we chant Hare Krishna. Because then everything else will come. Does that make sense? Yes.
Sakam karma yoga. Can we say it's bhakti mishra karma?
Sakam karma yoga. Is it sakam? I mean, is it bhakti mishra karma? It depends on the intent. It can be bhakti mishra karma, or it can be karma mishra bhakti. As we're saying, is that because that mixed part, what's the ultimate intent? If the ultimate intent is to develop love for Krishna, then it'll be karma mishra bhakti. Right? Even though it may be just a very small amount of bhakti. But it's still karma mishra bhakti. It's bhakti mixed with karma, though maybe the mix is a lot of karma. Right? But those whose intent is not on pure devotion, that will be then bhakti mishra karma. The bhakti is mixed in their karma. Yeah? Because they're just intelligent and know that this is the best way to... way to accomplish anything in the material world. So they're more intelligent than the general person, but they're not as intelligent as somebody who actually understands that getting facility in the material world isn't actually that great. Right? Because the soul being eternal, what they're going to do with these things. So therefore then they're more intelligent than the karmi, the straight, who does not use the process of bhakti. But they're not as intelligent as the person who is trying for pure bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? And then of those, then those who have attained, then they're better. Is that... Of course, Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda are accepted as the father and mother of Krishna, yet Mother Jashoda was more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father, because Nanda Maharaj was sometimes separated from Krishna, whereas Jashoda, Krishna's mother, was not separated from Krishna at any moment. Right? Because sometimes he'd have to go off to Mathura or go out into the take the cows out or do these other things, that the occupation that, you know, by doing that you have the facilities, then you can do things for Krishna. But it's all for Krishna, so of course. But we're talking about the fineness of the taste here. Mother Yashoda, by being in the house, what is she doing? Everything she does there is direct for Krishna. Is that what we said? She doesn't have to go to Mathura. Yeah. Okay. For Krishna's babyhood to his childhood, and from his childhood to his youth, Mother Yashoda was always in association with Krishna. Even when Krishna was grown up, he would go to Vrindavan and sit on the lap of Mother Yashoda. Therefore, there is no comparison to the fortune of Mother Yashoda. And Prigha Maharaj naturally inquired, Yashoda cha mahabhaga. No? Shukadeva Goswami said, to follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife, Dara, spoke to Lord Brahma in this way. Srila Prabhupada comments, when Krishna descends anywhere, he is accompanied by his own associates. These associates are not ordinary living beings. Krishna's pastimes are eternal, and when he descends, he comes with his associates. Therefore, Nanda and Mother Yashoda are the eternal father and mother. This means that whenever Krishna descends, Nanda and Yashoda, as well as Vasudeva and Devaki, also descend as the Lord's father and mother. Their personalities are expansions of Krishna's personal body. They are not ordinary living beings. Maharaj Parikit knew this, but he was curious to know from Sukadeva Goswami whether it is possible for an ordinary human being to come to this stage by sadhana siddhi. There are two kinds of perfection, nitya siddha and sadhana siddha. A nitya siddha is one who is eternally Krishna's associate, an expansion of Krishna's personal body. Whereas a sadhana siddha is an ordinary human being who, by executing pious activities and following regulative principles of devotional service, also comes to that stage. Thus, the purpose of Maharaj Parikit's inquiry was to determine whether an ordinary human being can attain the position of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Sukadeva Goswami answered this question as follows. So you see here, the nitya siddha, then there is one who is always an expansion of Krishna. Right? The sadhana siddha is one who is, will, you know, then by coming to the platform of prema, will become. Right? So then sometimes that we had, when was it? Like a month ago? You know, that one of the eternal discussions about, well, you know, the living entities, you know, we've heard that some come from Balaram, some come from Mahavishnu, some, you know, like this and that, some come out of a Cracker Jack's box, you know, all these different, you know, options that are there. You know, yes, someone was, we sent away, you know, an Amazon and, you know, some other ones, it was, you know, not quite as fortunate, we had to get them on eBay, you know, like that, so.
AliExpress.
Yeah. Yeah, or even if nothing else, okay, at least then we can get them on Alibaba, right? But you know, you're not sure if they're real or if they're just a knockoff, right? Yeah. So then all these different options, and so then, you know, individuals get really worried about that because, you know, social status, you will have to be from the best, so you have to, you know, why would I come from Mahavishnu? But the point is this, the form of the living entity in the material world, what's that form and expansion of? Right? The universal form. The universal form is an expansion of Kiradakshaya Vishnu and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who are an expansion of Mahavishnu. Right? So, therefore, that aspects of creation, maintenance, and destruction, then that is the situation in which the living entity is functioning. So that's the position. One is therefore, you know, expanding from Mahavishnu. Then those who then go back to this position, then they're considered an expansion of Krishna's form, because then you're on the transcendental pastimes. Right, so it's just a matter of Krishna's energies. At which way do you contact Krishna? If you contact Krishna through his external energies, then your connection to him, you know, is through Mahavishnu. Right? But if then you're not, then you're coming from Krishna, from that transcendent, because the spiritual body is spiritual. Right? So the spiritual body is there, and that will be coming from the internal potency. But if you do not use that spiritual body to serve Krishna in devotion, that it brings you to prema, then you can say that that's the natural position, because it said it's inherited. Right? Inheritance means it's naturally would be yours, but you still have to get it. You still have to qualify. Right? Does that make sense? It doesn't just happen. Right? In other words, the cat was really nice, really affectionate, you know, purred really nicely, and, you know, didn't shed too much hair and stuff like that. And that's why the cat inherited the estate. Right? It wasn't a nasty cat that scratched the old lady every time it walked by. Right? And in that case, then the estate goes to the dog. Right? But, you know, no, it went to the cat. Dogs don't purr. Right? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. You generally hear of estates going to cats, not dogs. Yes.
Can we say, according to this description, that some of the associates of the Lord, the Jiva Tattva, and some of them actually Swarup Shakti?
Yes. Well, they're not Swarup Shakti. I mean, Swarup Shakti is there, but they're expanded from. They'll be internal potency.
So they're not Jivas as such?
No, no. They'll be from the internal potency, from Sambit, Sandini, or Haladini. So then, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, and when he's discussing the energies of the Lord, in the Dasamul, I think, in Dasamul Niryasa Tattva, then he's explaining that the devotees of the conjugal rasa, they're expanding from Hladini potency. The devotees of the parental friendship and servitorship are expanding from the Samvit potency. And then the devotees of the Shanta rasa, they're expanding from the Sandini. Like that. So they're those who are internal potency, but then they're from these categories. But in the actual running pastimes, you don't make the distinction. The distinctions are made for us so that we start to discern. The idea is that we discern, then we can tell the difference between matter and spirit, because that's real intelligence. But once you come to that point where one's absorbed in the transcendence, there's no need to make these distinctions, because it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Yes, so that's there. So by having that desire to serve Krishna, because the jiva means they have the independence through desire to serve or not. So those jivas who naturally take up the position to, or who take up the natural position to serve, then by the association of the eternal associates, right, according to their taste, then they develop that prema, and then that form is naturally there. So they're nitya siddhas. Right? So they didn't ever come to the material world. Right? Does that make sense? But so the living entities do come to the material world, they're in that position. But then by coming to, it's the same process. By having that desire to serve Krishna, then you get the association of the Lord's devotees, and then by that, then you start to develop the proper mentality, so then you develop that love for Krishna. Right? And then coming to that platform, then one is also then in that category considered as nitya siddha. Right? It means there's no difference. But when the devotees say they are a nitya siddha, they never were fallen, that means they never were. Right? Does that make sense? Because sometimes it's a rare occasion where Prabhupada will point out who's coming up from who is sadhana siddhas and who is nitya siddhas. Mm-hmm. Like that. We'll get to that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense.
No,
someone who comes to a living entity who's been conditioned, and they come to that platform of pure love for Krishna, then they're categorized like the nitya siddhas. There's no difference. But at the same time, there is a difference only in that, not in the pastimes or anything. There's no need of considering anything there. What's the difference is that the nitya siddhas, they haven't been in the material world, material consciousness. While the sadhana siddhas have. Right? So then it's a very standard thing that the sadhana siddhas will come to preach in the material world. Not that the nitya siddhas don't also come, but they come as, you know, it appears in specific key positions. Does that make sense? You know, like we saw in when Gopakumara was going, you know, I think it was between Mahakalapura and Vaikuntha, or at least who was in that position in Mahakalapura, he could see unlimited living entities coming from Vaikuntha, coming down in groups, talking, laughing, this, doing kirtan, whatever it is, going down into the material universes to preach. So anybody could go, but it appears from this description that those who've been in the material world are generally the bulk of who goes, and the leading positions, those are by those nitya siddhas. But even the leading positions may not be. But the nitya siddhas who never fell, it appears that they always take a major position. Because like, they're the ones everybody follows, like Rupa Goswami. You know, so everybody follows. Is that yes.
You said that
Nitya Siddha
are like Ragatmika
devotees. Yes, Nitya Siddha means Ragatmika, but anybody who comes to that platform of praying technically is Ragatmika. Right? So because Rag is their attachment to Krishna is the basis of their of everything they do. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the life of what they do. Does that make sense? Rag Anuga means you're following the footsteps of those with Rag. In other words, those who are Rag Atmika, the Rag Anuga is following in their footsteps. Right? So, when they come to the platform of praying, technically they're Rag Atmika also. But still, the mentality of following those leaders in Rag, you could still say it's Rag Anuga. You know, so within Ragatmika, then those who are following, they're Raganuga. But in that case, then everybody's Raganuga because it's only Radharani, you can say, technically is the one who's Ragatmika. Because she, Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar Devotion that Radharani technically is the only devotee. And everybody else is devotee or devotee of the devotee, like this. So she is directly the devotee. And then everybody else, being her expansion and all this, then is devotee like this. You know, so everybody's a devotee, but you can say she is the devotee. Right? So even her position is then given a superior to Balaram, who's the supreme personality of Godhead, servant or Godhead. So you could say he's the supreme personality of you know, the devotees of Krishna who are Vishnu Tattva. But still, then Radharani is the Sarup Shakti, then she can deal with every aspect of Krishna's. Not that Balaram doesn't have, but it's still, it has a different flavor. So, yes, no?
Too many thoughts.
Too many thoughts. Okay. Another couple of years, right?
You see this line of questioning by Cricket Marsh. He's not asking, like you mentioned before, he's not asking from the platform of knowledge. He's actually asking to enhance the position of the personality.
Yes.
So in that way, that's actually the right way to...
Yes, because they're appreciating the positioning the taste that they're getting. So the position is based on that taste and that devotion. So that's what's being seen. He's not trying to categorize. It's not an aspect of Jigyasu especially, or, you know, just this interesting, or the Jnani. It's beyond that. It's actually appreciating their position and their service. Because he's pointing out is that these childhood pastimes, which are considered the sweetest of all his pastimes, because after his childhood he goes to Dwarka. So the Dwarka pastimes, though nice, are not as sweet. They're sweet and Aishwarya mixed. But you see his childhood pastimes, then those are all sweet. And so Mother Jashoda experiences those, and as it said, she's never separated from Krishna during that time. Right? So then she's the most fortunate in that way. But the Vasudeva and Devaki, then they only experienced Krishna's pastimes in Mathura Dwarka, in his birth in Mathura, and then coming to Mathura, then going to Dwarka. That's only, they don't experience them. They hear about them because Rohini comes. And naturally then they discuss about these things. So they'll hear, and in that way they can taste, but they haven't themselves directly taken part. So that's why he's pointing out is the fortune of Mother Yashoda is even greater than that. Even though they're all parents, hers is even greater. So,
yeah. Maharaj, you mentioned that our study of the categories of the rasas, they are from the sub categories of the idyal potency, something like that. And this will help us in understanding different matter and spirit. Could you elaborate on this, please?
No, the point is anytime you can use your power of discrimination, then by, you know, proper association, then you could use that power of discrimination to tell the difference between matter and spirit. So the point is this process of using the intelligence and trying to discriminate is then used as very much as the process. But for those who are more advanced, the discrimination is simply variety within spiritual rasa. But when we're not on spiritual rasa, then for us it's the differences between the different aspects of the Lord's energies and the jivas and all these different things that makes it so that we can discriminate between what's matter and spirit. Because otherwise we can't tell. We think we are the body, we think we're God. You know, all these different things that are not at all useful in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's you're developing Krishna consciousness, and because of that, it's also developing these skills by which you can engage in Krishna service. So that's why it said devotional service will take care of everything. So if one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness without any side endeavor to develop all these technical aspects, they'll come anyway. Right? But if they're not coming just anyway, right, that natural spontaneous aspect doesn't come up, then by being aware of them, then in the practice of devotional service, when the opportunity to apply, because you know it's favorable, you may endeavor. See, it's just like the person on the platform of pure devotion, he's naturally humble. Right? He's naturally tolerant. He's respectful. He's not looking for respect. That's just natural. He doesn't have to endeavor for it separately. But now let's say we're not on that platform, just hypothetically speaking. So then, you know, for the broader range of, so that we're not on that platform, and so we're not humble. But let's say a situation comes up where, if you look at it realistically, one has the opportunity to, and one should take the humble position, right? Now, if you don't know about devotional service, are you going to take the humble position? No. But knowing about devotional service, knowing about the importance and the benefit of humility in devotional service and how that pleases Krishna and how that's the Vaishnava etiquette, then when the choice comes to, you know, do I show attitude and all that or do I be humble, then you go, well, the devotional is the humble, so since I'm interested in pure devotional service and they're humble, so therefore let me try that. Whether I'm successful at it or not, that's another thing, but I try. You understand? So I'm open to practicing devotional service according to the proper standards of those who are practicing, are living devotional service. Does that make sense? So in that way, the analytical aspect of the devotional service is an advantage because then we know. So it's not, but when we do it, oh no, this is the way you have to do it and this and that, we kind of miss the point, but at least we're doing what we should. So it's pious. But it's not as pious as just applying it because, you know, that's the duty, and that's not as much as because of the natural appreciation of Krishna and the devotees. So there's always a hierarchy. So if it's recommended, it's never bad, but it can be a detriment. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so let's say Niyamagraha. So someone's following the rules because they should be. They don't really understand why, and they're a bit dogmatic about it, but that they're accepting within their mind that this is what Shastra says, this is what you should do. I'm trying to follow that, you know, so in my mind, that's the devotional service. But it's thought that the rule is the devotional service. No, it's the surrender to Krishna to follow what pleases him in the form of these rules that is the devotion. Mm-hmm. So they've actually missed the point. But that they're using that form, then that's good. So they're categorized as devotees, though they're making a mistake here. Then the other group, then they don't understand what it means, so they don't follow it. But generally in this, they're just trying to be practical. And so what they see as, you know, as useful in devotional service, or what they understand that Prabhupada gave, or what they experienced that Prabhupada gave, they'll stick to that. So even though Prabhupada's telling so many things, they don't understand and they don't follow them. You know, does that make sense? So they're using that aspect of discrimination, you know, again, but they think it's their that freedom, that practicalness, that using their intelligence, that's the devotion. No, it's the consideration that there's some connection of that with devotional service, that's the devotion. So that's why both of them are categorized as Niyamagraha. Because they think that the rule is the central thing. I must follow the rule. That's devotion. Not following, I don't need to follow rules. That's devotion. Does that make sense? But of the two positions, following the rule is more pious than not following. Does that make sense? But each one of them has their advantage and disadvantage. Right, because the other one, you show them something in devotional service they should do, they're naturally inclined to follow it. Though they don't necessarily understand why. They don't make that endeavor. The other ones are trying to understand why, but they're not necessarily willing to follow anything. So even they do come across something and do understand it, they don't have the practice to just follow. So even though intellectually they may know it's good, they may not be able to do it. You understand? So both positions are weak. So that's why devotional service means we contemplate why we follow and we follow. So that's actually the middle path. See this concept that middle path means a compromise. That's the difference. Material middle path means a compromise. It means it doesn't actually accomplish the benefit of either of them fully. It's just enough to politically make or economically make the situation work. Right, it's just enough that the two parties won't be too upset, right? But it's speculative on what will be that compromise. A little more this way, a little more that way, or something completely different. You know, does that make sense? Like that. You know, I can remember something as a kid. There was something that was there, and the two of them were using it. But then it came at a point where it would be one or the other. And so since they were good friends, they decided neither will have it. So I think they put it in a nice box and buried it in the backyard or something. You know, then both of them feel good that, you know, it's there and this, but at the same time, I didn't not get it. You know, I can feel good. I don't have it, but neither does he. You know, so that's, you know, more of a miserly kind of, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is it's the variety of what may be there is totally speculative. So it's a speculative middle path, and so it'll be constantly changing. So lacking that stability, it still won't be satisfying to the soul, because it's just a compromise between two mundane positions. Right? So you're taking the position in as whole, that it's good on its own. Like the liberal position is good, the conservative position is good. But the Vedic concept in this particular application of Niyamagraha is the ability to follow authority and apply that in your life, and that willingness, that's the good part of the conservative. Right? And the good part of the liberal is that it's supposed to be intellectual, you thought about it, you know, it has to be considering the individual and all that. So now the problem comes is in the modern you can't put together opposites. So actually the material path and the modern path cannot actually be the middle path. It's actually one or the other. It's just that you're a little covered. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is though it's talked about that there's a middle path and the material, there actually isn't. So the spiritual is the only thing, because it's connected to Krishna, then these two opposing positions are reconciled, because Krishna is the source of all opposites. And the point is rasa is tasted in the opposites. You know what I'm saying? Let us say I have two samosas, right? So how much rasa is going on? Not a whole lot. Now I have a one samosa and one tongue, right? Then we have something. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is it's an opposites where taste is. Right? There has to be a similarity of opposites. But it has to be, let's say, like the JCB, right? It has like a very large spoon on the front. Right? And you have your bowl. But the JCB spoon and yours don't really go together. Or if you want to take it the other way, because they call that on there, they don't call it a spoon, they'd be annoyed, they call it a bucket. So then the spoon you have, and that is the bucket, that wouldn't work. Right? You're not going to take that to go, you know, eat something or serve lunch or wash your clothes. Or right? Does that make sense? I'm sure someone in Australia does do it, but hey, you know, we're not talking. You know, we're not talking on the Paramahamsa level that only those people would be able to do. We're talking practical here on our level, right? So, the point is they have to match. Does that make sense? So you wouldn't have your tongue and a piece of wood. But now if you have a wood borer and a piece of wood, now you have rasa. You understand? So the point is what are the opposites, how those reconcile according to Krishna's definition. That's where rasa is tasted. You don't use Krishna's definition, no matter how smart you are, how intellectual, you know, how great you think you are, how great everybody else thinks you are. If you don't use Krishna's method, you don't taste anything. You can't. Because mechanics work according, that's science. So if you say, no, we can do what it like, that's not scientific. Science is, you follow the laws of nature. Oh, but that's so restricting. Then why do you claim science is so much better? Oh, we're just sentimental religionists and we're scientific. Okay, so let's be scientific. We have to follow God's laws, because that's what, you can't just do whatever you want. So you can't just speculate and all that. No, but you're restricting, you know, but what happened to science here? Do you understand? So they only use science and sentimentality, or the objective and subjective, according to what's favorable to their position at the moment. It's not that they're dedicated to one or the other. Is that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole idea. Is you have to see is that there. So the Vedic, it has the best of the both. That's why it is the middle. It can accommodate both. Like that. And you see, those who come to Krishna conscious, they have both mentalities. Does that make sense? And what have you left? You've left that speculative, impersonal, lack of standards, you know, aspect, constantly changing and insecure position of the liberal, and the inability to apply it to the individual, and therefore, and can't explain it, and don't look at it, analyze it, and look at it carefully, of the conservative. Right? And then, of course, in the material platform, you can't combine those two bad things and end up with a real mess, but hey. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that the Vedic is the actual middle path, because it's the razor's edge. So they're taking this middle path is broad and wide. No, it's a width of a razor. You follow exactly that, how the acharyas give, follow in their footsteps. The journey is very easy, very, you know, joyfully performed, and all that. But if you don't, then you're off into the abyss on the right or the left. And they're an abyss, and they're unlimited. And so the varieties of them is insane. It's not stable, it's not steady. But the devotional path, if it's understood pure devotion, then the whole Vaishnava community has common ground. Does that make sense? So just like all the residents of Vrindavan can get along because they all have that same mood of surrender to Krishna, that flavor, all Vaishnavas in the whole spiritual world can get along because they have that whole mood of pure devotion and surrender to Krishna. Yeah? But the difference in taste, then they prefer their different places. Right? It's just like if you're in the city, where do you go for a vacation? To the country. Right? If you live in the country, where do you go for a vacation? To the city. Like that. That's all. So they all have their taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Madam, you should ask permission. Krishna mentioned that she is Mahabhaga, that means she is fortunate. The Nanda Maharaj and other deity in the city. So does it imply that the position of Sambhu is being given or more appreciation than Vikramanda? Because in union, there is exchange of prasad and more taste experience, which
I caught. What do you call that? The question about Sambhog being considered more appreciated than Vipralamba.
Yeah.
But the context of that was that in material society, spiritual world, Sampradaya, that I didn't catch.
Yeah, in the context of the spiritual world.
In the context of the spiritual world. But the point is that also is according to taste. You know what I'm saying? It's according to taste. So in when you're dealing with Shantaras, they never feel separation because they're appreciating, their rasa is appreciating Krishna. So they don't have to do anything other than remember and appreciate. So that way they're always with Krishna. They never feel separation. Right? It's not part of their, you know, rasa, how it works. You know? And then of the other four rasas, then depending when there's... It's just also a matter of taste on whether you appreciate that. So we see as in Braj, the aspect of separation is the more prominent feature. While we see in the aspects of majesty, generally the Sambhog is the prominent feature. Now whether they can appreciate or not, then that hasn't been discussed so much. You generally, you know, they would prefer that he is there. But also those in Vipralamba, that's the point. You wish they were there. But you see is that it's not as prominent. Right? So it's like, let's say, the residents of Dwarka. Do we hear about them and their separate feelings of separation from Krishna? Right?
Yes.
Not really. But the separation of the devotees in Vrindavan from Krishna, it's a prominent part of the description.
Because intensity is more in Braj.
Intensity is more, but the point is in Vipralamba the intensity is more.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is whole idea is that if the Sambhog is going to be tasty, that means that there's a separation.
Mm-hmm.
Let us say you're in the house. It's raining. You can't go out of the house. Right? And let's, you know, up the stakes here. Okay? You're living in a studio apartment. Does that make sense? And you're there and another person is there. And you like this person. But you're there 24/7.
There are limits.
Yeah. So then that sambhog, you know, how much taste are you getting from it? Right. Now, let's say the sun comes out and then people go out and all this and that, and you haven't seen them all day. So they go out in the morning, you're doing your thing, then they come back in the evening. Right? Then there's some taste. You understand? Because the whole point is the Vipralamba increases the quality of the sambhog. That's the thing that's not necessarily appreciated. Because somebody said, oh, but the sambhog, why do there has to be Vipralamba? Because it makes the sambhog better. If we're talking about eternity and we're talking about ever increasing, that means then Vipralamba is good. Does that make sense? So therefore it's there. The other is it's not a prominent feature. Yeah. Is that, that's all.
Is it only prominent like when Krishna leaves, when Radhika to go to Hastinapur for some time and then when he returns, but it's not prominent, like it's not like...
You have that aspect, but those aspects aren't talked about much. Like you see there, is that it's the only time I've ever come across where Prabhupada in a purport mentions that. But it wasn't caught. Even when Krishna was grown up, he would go to Vrindavan and sit on the lap of Mother Jashoda. Right? But otherwise, it's generally not something that's talked about. Because in the kind, you can say in the Gokul pastimes, you kind of have more of a linear thing. So then there, but in Goloka, then he goes and he always comes back. You know, so that's the thing. So you have the position that just as is being the gopis, then the moment of separation when their eyes blink, then they feel that. You know, so a moment is the blink of an eye. So when we say one moment feels like 12 years or more, they meaning the blink of an eye feels like 12 years. So that's the whole point, is the Vipralamba aspect is so much stronger. That's what makes the uniqueness of Braj. Because many don't appreciate it because I don't want to go through that intensity. You know, it means being with Krishna, appreciating that, the rasa, the sense, I can relate to that. But that intensity of being separated from Krishna and all that, I don't really appreciate that, because in the material platform being separated is not very nice, so why would that be great on the spiritual platform? Right? And so then you have that kind of position. Right? And that's accommodated, but it's accommodated in lower Goloka. It's not in Braj. Because if one wants to be in Radha Krishna pastimes, but not actually go through the Vipralamba aspect, that opportunity is there. Right? Where they're always together and always this and that, but it's mixed with Aishwarya. So it's not pure sweetness. It's sweet, of course. Just like we said in Vaikuntha, the Lord is sweet because there's yoga maya is there, otherwise how do you appreciate it? But it won't be as sweet as the Braj pastimes. That's why it's more. Because the point is then Krishna is totally independent, because it's about ourselves, what we're going to get. No, I want to be there with Krishna. I want to be an associate. I want to, you know, so what is that? That's the aspects of liberation. Right? Vaikuntha liberation, so they're devotional. But Braj means there's no, that aspect of desiring liberation is not there. So it's just what pleases Krishna. So if being together pleases Krishna, being separate pleases Krishna, then one is fine with that. Aslisya vāpāda rakam vināshtamam. So that's the verse that points out that therefore the highest position is that of that separation. And then the sambhog is better, but then that makes the intensity of the Vipralamba more, because if being together is so nice, then being separated is even more intense. And because of that intensity, when you do get together, then being together is more intense. So it nourishes each other. It's just the natural position. Right? Because if you're going to have, to taste rasa, you're going to have opposites, then therefore opposites are part of what makes rasa work. Because Krishna, as himself, you know, the Lord of all energies and being non-different from them, then the taste of being himself is great. But to increase that, then there must be difference. That means opposites. He's the Shakti, Man, and then you have the Shakti. Mm-hmm. He's independent, Shakti's dependent. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So all these things, the opposites make, so therefore to increase to the rasa to its limit, you know, means unlimited, but you know, in that direction, then that means the aspect of Sambhog and Vipalamba have to be there, because without opposites, then the taste. So the greater the opposites, the greater the taste. Right? Does that make sense? So the more masculine Krishna is, and the more feminine Radharani is, then the greater the taste. You know what I'm saying? That's why you see when you have these positions. Yeah, okay, we'll leave it at that. Where. Yeah, you know where I'm going. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. Okay, so Sukadev Goswami answers this question as follows. So, whether an ordinary human being can attain the position of Mother Jashoda and all that. Because that's generally our tendency, is that, oh, that sounds great, I want to be that. But that's another form of the same impersonalism. I want to be God, or I want to be God's devotee. Right? Does that make sense? So these are subtle points that have brought us to the material world. Mm-hmm. So they're still part of impersonalism. So they have to be given up. Drona and Dada said, please permit us to be born on the planet Earth, so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets, will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. Right? So here is their prayer. Right? Is that they... It's about the appearance of the Lord, because when he comes, he performs pastimes, he always has parents. As we see, the Shastra always mentions who his parents are. Right? So, you know, just like a name obvious like Prishni Garba. Right? It points out who the... Or Vasudeva. Points out who the father is. Right? And those are the primary names. The one that show a relationship with the devotees. That's his primary names. The secondary names are ones that show his position. Right? You know, like Paramatma, or, you know, this is his position. But Nandanandana, Jashodanandana, you know, Vasudeva, these then show his relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah.
When they want Krishna as a child, second, they want Jivas must be devoted. So, is it that they want the quality of compassion that they have is more prominent, and then with that compassion, with that particular quality, what they achieve is Krishna. Okay.
So, because they have more compassion, that's why they get a higher position.
What is the question?
Yes. From how you say it's like archaeology. You find a tooth, and then from that you reconstruct a Tyrannosaurus Rex, what it looked like, what color it was, and everything like that. So we've got jivas, we've got compassion. Add, because of the compassion, is that the reason for Drona and Dara being a higher position than Sutapa and Krishna? Does that make sense? It didn't. Why didn't it make sense?
You are compassion, higher position.
Right? Yeah, but this is what we have to work with. No, but the point is repeating it doesn't necessarily have any benefit. Because you ask the question for 30 seconds, I get about 3 seconds out of it. So unless you make the other 27 seconds as loud as those 3 seconds, You know what I'm saying? With the, it means after a few more days when it gets cold and the fans go off, then the problem will go away. But as long as it's there, I'm only, means, can you hear what she's saying? No. You know, so we're about the same distance. So I catch those words. I caught jiva, I caught compassion, and that. So, but what I said, is that your question?
Right. The question is that how we know that Krishna, he always does one job, but in that, you know, two targets are being achieved. Similarly,
only two.
Multiple.
Okay, thank
but,
you.
But then devotees like Drona and Dhara, when they are praying, that they are worried about the jivas and they should be delivered. So this quality of compassion is prominent. So with that quality of compassion, what they are also achieving is Krishna as their son. So two things have been achieved at the same time.
Well, totally different than what I heard. So it was more of a statement.
Yes.
Okay. So you were right. It wasn't a question. You were saying, what's the question? It wasn't. We all heard that?
No.
No. Okay. So, when Krishna performs activities, then he does an activity, and from that activity, then many things are accomplished. And so then, in this case, then it's being observed that with the devotees also, then, you know, so many things are accomplished. So since it's Krishna's pastime, that you have the manifestation by their praying in this way, their compassion for the devotees, then they have that position, and they are also, you know, making that arrangements for Krishna's appearance and all these things. So many things are accomplished at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you could say. The point is here is that the Supreme will appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that the material world may be very easily delivered from the material, a miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting devotional service. So by accepting devotional service is attracted. How much we're attracted to devotional service, that's what we take up. Right? That's the natural thing. So according to our conditioning, what aspects make sense to us, we like to be involved in that. And then what aspects we're able to catch on the transcendental platform as the nature of the consciousness and the soul, we're attracted to that. So, of all the things that Krishna does, his position, of course, that's there, and that. But his activities are the attractive aspect. Does that make sense? Himself is attractive, but then that him performing activities and tasting that relationship with the devotees is the most attractive. So then, the performance of activities, and so then any activity that the Lord does is always going to be attractive. But then there's those activities that are more attractive, most attractive. So the Braj pastimes as a child are the most attractive. So since they're worried about being, you know, involved so that Krishna can be the most attractive, then that is the pastimes in Vrindavan. Well, the others were praying that he becomes their son. That was the main focus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Didn't include others. That's why Prabhupada said it's more of a had that their own material desire to it, or not material desire, but their own desire was the thing. Well, this is more about Krishna comes to the material world to preach and uplift the living entities. When he comes, he always has a parent, and so then they can take, they, you know, well, you know, would like to take that position so he can come and therefore attract all the living entities back to Godhead. So that's a superior position than we see of Vasudeva and Devaki, who just wanted Krishna as his son. Right? So it's spiritual, of course, because it's connected to Krishna, but it's more about themselves. Well, Nandan just showed it. It's more about the benefit that everybody will get. And naturally then, as we said, many things are accomplished, then being involved in the most attractive pastimes will also be the nicest for them. Yes.
Then, according to what we just said, Drona and Dara should have gotten Krishna instead of Yajna, because they were very elevated motives behind their desire to get Krishna. But it took them a while.
But also with Sutapa and Krishna, then they got Krishna Garba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's that because you have to take the age that they're in. So he's going to appear in a later age because they're Vasus here. And it appears that Drona, I mean, Sutapa and Krishni are Prajapatis. And so then, you know, in the time they are, the Lord's pastime will come. Like the sages at Dandakaranya, they had that interest in that conjugal relationship with Lord Ramachandra. But Lord Ramachandra doesn't do, you know, that. He, you know, his vow, one wife, one word, one you know, arrow, like that kind of thing. So, therefore, to taste the maryada, he can't deal with that. But as Krishna, then he can deal with unlimited, you know. So, therefore, then they'll appear as one of the groups, right? Because we'll see when it comes up, is that the gopis appeared in different groups. So they're one of the groups.
Mm-hmm. And the next point is, we talk about sadhana siddhas and niti siddhas. So they would definitely be niti siddhas.
Who?
Drona and Dar. Or not necessarily?
Because it's... From the point is that they're always their parents, then you would take it that they're nityasiddhas. But to be parents on all these levels, then they come, and because they're going to be there, therefore then they're going to then have these prayers and activities. So, because in the material world everything works on time and space, though we're very comfortable when there's time and space. You know, it's just like if you hear Narad Muni talking about he is... You know, he was the son of the maidservant, and from that, then he became Narad Muni.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, he was the Gandharva, then he became that, so we can see is okay, he became degraded, then he took a lower birth, but because of good association, then he got elevated himself, and then from that practice, he became Narad Muni. Mm-hmm. Right? We're cool with that chronology.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's generally, that's what Bhagavatam presents, because then we take it fully.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you put in the chronology that before his birth as the Gandharva, then Narad Muni is discussing with Brahma, and something comes up about celibacy, and then Narad Muni is proud of his celibacy, right? You know, 311 trillion years of celibacy. Not bad, right? You know? Right? Does that make sense? You don't hear of anybody else. I mean, the four Kumaras, but they're also glorified. You know? But, you know, they're the only ones that much celibacy. Right. So then, because of that pride, then to teach them that that's not proper, then Lord Brahma then has them take birth as that Gandharva.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So because we see things like, oh, then it throws the whole thing off. But we only go back a little bit. That's the advantage. We don't go back, keep going and keep going. We just go back one or two. Does that make sense? So because of that, then the world goes on nicely. Because if we kept going, then, you know, things start to fall apart. Like the child that, you know, the little child asks, why? And we have our answer. And we're good. Then he questions that. Then you have to think a little bit. Then you say something. Then he questions that. Now you're out of answers. Because we never think back that far. You know, says so that they go back, that they're Drona and Dara, then they give birth to, you can say Yajna, then after that, now they're Nanda, then we're cool with that. We don't ask who were they before Drona and Dara. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We just don't. You know, but the point is they come in these forms. So just like Krishna comes in so many forms to perform his pastimes, so his devotees do also.
Maharaj, next page, Dio Goswami is explaining how to understand these positions.
Okay.
And how to reconcile.
Okay. So it's coming. Yes.
I was wondering about this aspect of compassion that you were explaining now. The Drona and Dara, and then like the life of Srila Prabhupada, like that sweetness that is in that relationship, because like in the spiritual sky, like you're explaining that really Krishna's childhood pastimes in Raj is the most sweet, but there is also like an immense sweetness and that compassion nature of a nityasiddha, like coming here in the material world to deliver, like is that just a different flavor?
Means the natural original quality in the jiva is friendship. means you have six different qualities. So one of them is friendship. So in the spiritual world, it's always manifest as friendship with the other living entities. But when you come into the material world, then it takes on friendship maybe there, but compassion is there for those who are junior. Right? Or you also have the aspect of indifference, those who don't behave properly. It's all very, it's all different, how you say, features of one quality. Mm. You understand? So that's why when the residents of the spiritual world come here, you naturally see that compassion. It's not a separate thing. And that's why then when going from here to the spiritual world, then there's that friendship. So if the friendship is the original that includes the compassion, so there's no less taste in that friendship that you're missing out on something of the compassion here. It's the same quality. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, in this way, Dara and Drona, performing pure sadhana bhakti, prayed for pure prema bhakti. It was unlike the bhakti of Sutapa and Prishni, who performed bhakti mixed with austerity and yoga. This was explained previously. The result of their bhakti is also seen. So it's just a different thing. So they performed prayed, they were performing sadhana bhakti, praying for the pure, but they were also doing so. We can see is there is different results. It maybe ultimately can get to there, but not in this case, because this is their natural positions. But for us, we're using things that are mixed. There's also results that come from the mix. Does that make sense? So that's the way it works. There is an effect, but because you're connecting to Krishna, it's perfect. And you will advance. But the point is that we have to understand ultimately it has to be about pure devotion, not about our interest, our mix, our attachments, our false identities. Is that what it is? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada adds, before Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dara appear in order to become his father and mother. It is they who appear as Nandamaras and his wife Jashoda. In other words, it is not possible for a sadhana siddha living being to become the father and mother of Krishna, for Krishna's father and mother are already designated. So it's eternal relationship. But they come and play that part. Why? Because then we, as sadhakas, then can attain. So you can attain the parental rasa through sadhana, right? By following the footsteps of Nanda and Jashoda. Then one will bring that. So the elder gopis and gopa, they're in that position of parental rasa. You can attain that through your performance of sadhana bhakti to attain pure devotion in that way. So, who sets the example, right? You understand? Mm-hmm. So Lord Chaitanya, his associates, they come to show how to do those things. But they're eternal associates. They're the Lord himself and the eternal associates. Right? So they'll always come down and play this position. Because the point is devotional service is always nice. So even sadhana bhakti is nice. Because it's devotional service. Just with them, there's no mix. So therefore, then they don't have the problem. Yes?
I'm not sure that there's a term that raganut sadhana, but it seems to be that some people have it and some people don't. So is it a matter of can we actually develop rag?
You can develop rag. No, it's not inherent in specifically in the jiva, unless it's something just a particular taste. If they're a jiva from Vaikuntha, they'll have that natural taste for the Aishwarya, right? But the rag is the natural position of the Braj Bhakti, but it's just a matter depending upon the conditioning and how one is looking at the devotional process and that how one takes it. So because it's not that the rules make the difference. It's not what you do. Like there's this idea is that if we sit down and just read pastimes about Vrindavan, then we'll develop that's Raganuga Bhakti. But that's not. That's just following the same rules. like that, because you're supposed to hear and chant about Krishna. So it's not what you're doing, it's that attraction to, that interest in, that desire for. That's where it comes from. So it's just Krishna's mercy. So it's not something you can do. You know, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, you can do. But rag means it happens. Does that make sense? The potential is there, but it's just a matter of when it happens. So one doesn't have to worry. If it's not happening now, one doesn't have to worry about that. Some people get an anxiety about that. You know, just like the kid before the birthday, you know, is an anxiety about the presents, you know, and all that. But there's no need. It's not a necessity. Because the point is, when are you going to actually be able to fully apply Raganuga in fullness?
When?
Yes. Bhava Bhakti. So that means if sometime, you know, as long as when you get to Bhava Bhakti, one then has that rag platform, it works. And if you didn't have it as a madhyama, then you don't worry about it. Does that make sense? So it may come as a madhyama, it may not. But the point is it will come by the time you get to the uttam platform. So when you come to that position of being on that platform, then that's where it happens. That's why Rupa Goswami makes the point. It's connected with anartha nivritti. Because when the anarthas are removed, then you can be attracted to Krishna. If the anarthas aren't removed, then we're attracted by the anartha. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that so we see nishta is after anartha nivritti, but that that's where there's a prominence of anartha nivritti, but it's not complete. Right? So therefore, then it's going to be 75%, but it still has 25% anarthas are left. So one at that point might have that position, or the Raganuga aspect might be awoken. But now as a madhyama, right, as someone in nishta, what are you going to see in their devotional practice?
Sorry? Stability.
Stability, right? So therefore, you're going to see them as a very well-situated Vaidhi sadhaka. So the whole point is, the bottom line is you can't tell. Because the more they're situated in rag bhakti, the better they are at following the rules and regulations. Because we don't follow them because of anarthas. Right? Or we follow them because of our conditioning that, rules, following rules gets results. I want results, so therefore I follow it. So that's the whole point, is you can't tell. Probably gives the example, that one example is always given. I don't know that there's a second, of the wife with the paramour. Mm-hmm. So therefore, she does her duties better. Right? That's how it works. You have to do them better. Then there's no doubt. So that's the point. Someone who's not on rag platform, then they try to show rag. But if they're showing it, means they're not on it. Does that make sense? The Bengali saying, an empty pot makes more noise. Yeah. So like that. So if they do have, then it's something very valuable. You don't, let's say, you get some really, really valuable thing, you don't just show it to everybody. No. Yeah, you show it to nobody. So that's it. So that's Raganuga Sadhana. Is that it's there because that's natural. And if it happens, but the point is the form of it will always be Vaidhi. So you don't have to get where if I'm on that platform, what do? It's the same as everybody else. Point is you get a taste for all those things which the others are doing because of the rules. You like chanting, you like hearing, you like associating with the devotees, you like worshipping the deity, you like being in the Dham, you like hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's Rag. Not that, oh no, you only hear about the gopis and all that. That's the Sahajiya's concept of Rag. It's rules. It's still Vaidhi. They make up their own Vaidhi. They make it up as if it's a different Vaidhi. It's the same Vaidhi. Does that make sense? You know, Nandamaras is still giving the same cows in charity at the same sacrifice that the total mundaner is doing. The form doesn't change because the form is how Krishna likes it. But what changes is the bhakti. That's the difference. How you say? King Nriga is doing big sacrifices and all that, but it's mundane. He ends up as seeing Yamaraj and becoming a lizard. Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing Rajasuya, which is the biggest. You don't get bigger than that as a you know, Shrauta Yajna. But it's all done in pure devotion. So that's what has to be caught, is that it's not what you're doing, it's your intent in doing it that makes the difference between whether it's Ragatmika, Raganuga, Vaidhi Sadhana, you know, mixed, you know, devotional service, or just downright materialistic. So same activity, it's all on the mentality. So you can see Rag is the mentality. So it's not what should I do, it's what's the mentality. You understand? Yes.
So can we say it's inherent in the Sampradaya, actually, because others don't have it apparently?
They don't. They have it on a little bit of a degree, because it's always natural, that spontaneous aspect. But it's spontaneous within the Aishwarya, within the rules. So they're within the rules, they're very enthusiastic. It's not so formal. Like you could say Narad Muni is on that platform of, you could say, however, whatever would be the position of spontaneous devotional service within the Vaikuntha Bhava. Right? Because we mentioned there's three kind, it appears there's, from what Sanatana Goswami talks about, there's three levels of these Vaikuntha devotees. And which could be applied anywhere. Those who can only appreciate their own rasa in their own place. And therefore it's very much just about what you're doing, following the rules and that, because it's Aishwarya. So they, one of those days. But nice. Normally it would only be marriage, sex, you know, how you say, who's in control and authority that would get us to go over, but generally only marriage and sex. So this is good. We went over discussing about devotional service. We're advancing. Yeah. Okay.
Beyond the
north and the beach. Yes. Something's good. Yeah. So. Yeah. So then, the. Where were we? Yes, and so then you have those. We can see is when Gopakumar was just playing his flute or just being more relaxed, and those devotees got upset because in Vaikuntha you have to fall like this and that. And that is, and they are the platform of prema, and they're pleasing the Lord. Then you see there's a group that they're going to do this, but you do something else, it's okay. They can accommodate it. Not that they do it, not that they appreciate it, right? Not that they find any taste in it. But they can accommodate he's doing that, so they just recommend this, do this on your own, don't do this in the court. You come outside, you do, fine, but don't do that there. The people get freaked out, right? And then the third is like Narad Muni, who they can appreciate, and they even, you know, they can appreciate that taste that's gained there. In other words, in their appreciation, is that the Lord had all these things in it, so they can appreciate it. They themselves don't do that. That's not their rasa, but they can appreciate it. So, in one sense, it is inherent in the particular place, but they all have some aspect of a spontaneous element, but it'll still have the spontaneity in Vaikuntha will be restricted by the Aishwarya. But the spontaneity and Braj, because there is no Aishwarya, then it has the pure spontaneity. You understand? Because you can talk spontaneous devotional service, let's say, to the Shris. They'll understand it on their platform. You may not describe it from the Brudge, but that idea that you're just, you want to do this, you, that that's why that's the important part. It's taken, no, no, but unless it's about the gopis, then how can it be spontaneous to vote? No, spontaneous means it's as simple as you get up in the morning because you're enthusiastic, you want to go to Mangalarti, you want to see the deities, you want to sing for Krishna. That's Raga Nuga. Right? But the taste you get, the flavor you get, that inspiration you get, that may not be shown. Does that make sense? Yeah, because it's always taken, no, but unless that rasa with Krishna and your relationship and all that, no, that's just because the sahajas make that a big point, because they don't have any rules and regulations, so there's nothing to follow. That's the meaning of their philosophy. And then they don't follow, you know, then they have to make up their own. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you'll either follow religion, if you're conditioned, you'll follow religion, or you'll make up your own religion. So either you accept the Vedic version, or you'll make up one. They'll say, oh no, we're not bound by the rules. But their rule is we're not bound by the rules. So the point is you'll either have or you'll make it up. You know, just an example in the contemporary environment is Christianity. Right? Technically, philosophically, it's Judaism. Right? And their man is Jewish. And so the original Christians are Jewish, as is Jesus. Trying to broaden that, they drop the old traditions. So then they accept the Roman traditions. So they have a philosophy and they have a Roman lifestyle. Where's their religion other than the Roman lifestyle? So they have to create, they have to invent. So they don't use, you know, the Hebrew, then they'll use the Latin, simply because that was the local language. And so then they come out with their own things, their own way of chanting it, their own everything like that. You know, they don't use Mogen David wine, they use something else that's a little more dry. You know, so, you know, just, you know, the direction they're going. Right? So, that whole... No? Mogen David White's really sweet, so he's just overly sweet. So the whole point is that they created it. So all the thing, the dress they wear, the outfit they wear, everything like that has all been created. Every ritual in that. So that's the point. The conditioned soul has to have religion. And if you don't, you'll make it up. So that's the point, is that they could have just gone with, because they're saying, oh, but then the whole point is what they made up now is the thing that's being thrown out is too ritualistic. So that's the whole point. But at the same time, as the Judaic still being followed today, just the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Right? But at the same time, is in being modern and moving forward, that therefore you got Catholicism and that, then that is then turned to problem, and even that's being thrown out. You know, so that's the whole point, is that as soon as you get into the mundane, you're going to make it up, and it will be according to time and place. It has a shelf life. But if it comes, if God, then it works. Then it's just a matter of understanding. Right? So Jesus was showing a better understanding, a devotional understanding, rather than a ritualistic understanding. But he wasn't changing the philosophy. He wasn't changing the lifestyle on that. So that's why if we use the Vedic, then we have one. But if we don't use the Vedic, 100% guaranteed we'll make up our own. 100% guaranteed. Right? Because if we say, oh, we're Westerners and that, and we can't eat all this Indian food, so we have to cook Western stuff. What if someone wants to make sushi for the deities? Is that okay? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So there, it's going to get down to what you can wear, what you can do. So they'll have it all ritualized, but it'll be coming from their own mind. And then after so many years, there'll be a reformation of it and all that, because, you know, how you say, people again wear pleats, or, you know, people stopped wearing pleats, or bell bottoms are back in, or shorts are stupid, you know, so there'll be some reformation in which they readjust all these things. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. It always has to go through all these mundane things. Well, the Vedic, no, it's just a matter of deepening your understanding. Then it works. So that's then what the mission is for, is then reviving the original, because the point is the original understanding that Lord Chaitanya is giving, that is the original understanding of the Veda. Achinta Veda Veda Tattva is the original. Garloka is the original place. Braj is the original place. So bringing it back to its roots, then all other aspects are naturally taken care of. Does that make sense? So therefore, with the Raganuga, it's a matter of it happens or it doesn't. But if it doesn't, don't worry, it will happen when you get to the platform of Bhava. And if it does happen, then it's happened and you don't talk about it. You know, and then how much has happened and this and that. So someone happens more, someone less. So point is it's not, it's just the way it is. Can we continue after, since it's time to take a break? Unless you want to go for the straight till 9, but it's not raining, so we don't really have an excuse. So we'll break here for a few minutes.
Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Sanadita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Krimadanti ki.